went through and decided to pull back some of the things that I missed that I thought were really important for us to hit on. So we're going to continue a little bit, but the heart I want to share with you, those that know that I've been a privilege of being a part of a school up in Mooresville where my daughter and my son, we used to go to, but now my daughter is about to be done. We invited you to go to the fundraiser last night. I want to share with you something that moved me. We were able to sit with the director of the new movie, I Can Only Imagine, at our table. We had a chance to talk to him, and we had so much fun. I think my wife might go down to Mississippi, Alabama, just to hang out with his wife. They had such a good time. The humility and the movie was amazing, and to hear how the movie was formed and how all this, March 15th is when I think the release date is. 16th, I think everybody who can, I don't know what we're going to do. Amy's really good about finding connections with the local theater there in Mooresville. I don't know if they're going to show it, but I would love to do what we did for Woodlawn. Same producer, by the way, of Woodlawn is, I Can Only Imagine. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do another family church night up there in Mooresville? We can all go and watch that movie. Woodlawn, I'm just going to be honest with you. Andy, you sat next week. We were okay. We cried the whole movie. I'm not going to lie. I was starting to cry last night when the actress for I Can Only Imagine was talking last night because her passion, she said no to Hollywood films because of it would have tested her integrity. I'm telling you, we have people out in Hollywood. I was encouraged last night to know that we have people in Hollywood that do care and will take films only based on this. But I'd like to share something last night that he shared, and then I'll add a little bit. Andrew Irwin is his name. He's the producer of these films, Mom's Day Out or Mother's Mom's Night Out, days, nights. Moms don't get much time out, so they just name it whatever they have to. And then I was so moved because this goes right along with what I'm going to share this morning. So I'm going to share this with you. I wish he could, but he's in Los Angeles. He said he got the early flight out this morning to go to L.A., and he's going to be in 5 states in 5 days promoting the movie that comes out, and he was telling us that. And he goes, it's going to be a busy week. But at age 12, he started filming. And those that were there last night, sorry, you're going to hear it again. At age 12, he started filming. And at one point, they got a call from ESPN to help produce something because someone was out sick or something, and he had the opportunity to do this. And then he had a chance to do a lot of little things. Those of you know the song by Skillet, one of my favorite songs, Monster, he produced that video. And he had a chance to start working in a lot of different scenes. But here's what he said. At some point in his career, and I had a chance just to hear his heart beforehand, because Heather, her dad was sitting right next to me. And those who don't know, Scott does a TV show. And Scott and I were talking right before before we were talking to him. And he said, you know, I was just talking to Cindy beforehand. And I thought, we're really not making a lot on this show. Maybe it's just time to end this thing. Maybe it's time just to call it quits because this is something that I have a passion for. But it's not making, maybe it's just time to give it up. So we were talking to Andy about that before the thing. He goes, and he starts sharing his testimony a little bit with us there. And then, of course, Scott ran to him afterwards, talked to him for a while about it. He goes, but he said this. At some point in his life, he realized he had a camera, and he had a vision and a passion to do something, but he just thought, there's nowhere to go. And at one point, he said to his dad, as I wrote this statement, this whole thing out, he said, I wanted to give up and realize maybe I'm just going to go down a different path. This filming business, there's no money, there's nothing, there's no opportunities for me to go into this path at all. I'm not going to be able to do it. And he said this, what has God put in your hand? And he said, a camera. He said, then why don't you give what God put in your hand back to him and see what he can do with it? It hit me. Why don't you give God what he gave you and let him do it? And it was shortly after that, he got an opportunity to help direct, be one of the directors in the movie Courageous, the one I thought was a great movie. Then he had the opportunity to do one of the most controversial films, and I won't go into it, he did such a great job talking last night about it. The October Baby film was highly controversial because about abortion. And people, this is what was powerful. When he presented the movie to different people, they said, I would not do that. You know what? It's a good idea. Put it into a video. Don't put the movie out. Just put it into a video. Get it gone. and move on. And something in him said, no, this is what I've, God gave me this to give. And of course, that movie made a really big hit. And he shared stories about a doctor who watched that movie in medical, I'm sorry, he was in medical school going to be a doctor. And after finding that out, or was it? Doing his residency in an abortion clinic, excuse me, in Australia. He watched that movie and said, because of that, I changed everything. And then after that, he had Moms Night Out. Woodlawn, 25,000 people at some point made it clear to the director that they gave their life to Christ through that movie. 25,000 people. Because God decided a man shouldn't quit his dream. He shouldn't quit his passion, but instead fulfill it. And I was just talking last week to you all about vision. And it takes passion to pursue to get to your vision. When you have a passion and you let it die, you become miserable. If this man, Andrew Irwin, who I don't know, except I sat at a table with him for a couple hours last night, would have given up on his passion, I wouldn't have been able to spend 2 hours crying in a movie theater watching Woodlawn. And 25,000 people had not heard the gospel through that film. And now we're going to have I Can Only Imagine come out next month. And I don't know how many thousands of people are going to hear the gospel through Mercy Me and through the producer of this film and these actors presenting the gospel to thousands and thousands of people, because Hollywood does have people in it that did not compromise their integrity, like this Madeline Carroll. As she spent the day at Mooresville Christian, and she didn't want to leave the school. She had so much fun with these kids. And she was crying her whole story. I mean, I don't know how you could, she was crying last night talking about, God, you told me to do this, but I've turned down roles because I want to honor you with my career. And then God opened up doors. We have people out there, but where are we at now? Let's take this home. Last week we talked about vision and about where we're going as a church. Kenny, he's about to do jumping jacks up here. He's so excited about putting some wheels on this vision. For the first time in 20 plus years that I've been here, I am seeing the vision clearer than I've ever seen because of those leaders. And yes, our Wednesday night meeting with our oversight team was one of the best, because there was vision and there was practical application that we're going to see God do this year. But it's going to require us to activate the passion in us to fulfill the vision that God has for us. Practical application lets us see it on a practical, visible realm. It's tangible. And I'm excited for the next couple weeks. This morning, my heart goes out to last week. This is what I left out of my notes, the whole section. And I thought, how did I leave that out? I had a whole section of my notes. And it's because this is where we're going to pick up. What's happened in our church, what's happened in our lives, is we have become externally motivated versus internally motivated. Our passion has become external and not internal. And what I mean by that is this. Our passion has become what others think of us or others say about us, and it squelches the passion inside of you. Our vision for our life has become what others have said, or even truthfully, I love the charismatic church. I am so happy to be a Spirit-filled believer. But you know what I hate about the Spirit-filled church? There's a bunch of quacks in here that want to tell you what God says about your life when God didn't say it to you. And there's some of you right now, I hear, I've been hearing it for years. Someone told me this, and I look at them. Do you feel witness in your spirit? Well, not really, but they said God showed them. I go, well, then God didn't show them it. If it doesn't bear witness in you, don't let somebody else's external words change the vision and the passion that you have. There's more confusion because you're letting external words and ideas and thoughts, or maybe I'll get to this, the thoughts that get put in your head by the enemy himself. That's why it says take every thought captive, because there's a lot, I can't do that. There's no way I could do that. Imagine if that actress who got her first gig at 3.5 years old, then she's Mr. Popper's Penguin. She's in that movie, by the way. That's pretty cool. That's a good movie. But imagine, though, if about 5 years ago, when she was able to start producing those films or being in those films that compromised, she would not be where she is today because of compromise. And some of us in this room need to go back and look. Where are areas in your life that maybe we've compromised in? Where are areas in your life that maybe you knew that God said this, but you went this way because of thoughts and obstacles in your life? It's time to come back. Maybe your circumstances in life, maybe your career has been a disappointment. Maybe as you look around, you start seeing all these external forces in your life that's caused you to get down and just flat out disappointed and depressed. You look around and just say, you know what, this is not what I bargained for. This is not where I saw myself at 40 years old, or 25, or 35, or 50, or there's really about that. Once you get over 50, it just keeps going uphill. In a good way. You're not downhill till you're 80. Then you just coast. All right, moving on. Or how about this? Two more things. Maybe the external force is things you read, watch, or listen to. Maybe the external force in your life is social media or what you read or on the news. All these external things are destroying the passion inside of you. You're allowing things in your life, whether it's an addiction or whether it's in the fear from the news, whether it's, I don't know what it might be, whether it's books you read. We are allowing ourselves from the inside out or from the outside in to be destroyed because we're losing our passion for what's important. Last but not least, maybe this is the category you fall in. Maybe the church has just been a disappointment to you. Maybe the hurts and the rejection, the pain that you've been through has just caused you to give up your passion for living out the vision God called you to live. Maybe the disappointment the church has been. You know what? I've been here a long time, and I've seen people get hurt even through myself. Well, not obviously, I can know my heart, but it doesn't matter. There's things I've said and done over the years that I wish I could take back because I hurt people. There's things I said because I was just being stupid. I'm not going to lie. Some of it wasn't because I had a good heart. Some of it was just being stupid. But I also get a lot of people coming in from other churches that's been hurt. It's time to go ahead, and I'm going to be, folks, I love y'all, but you know what? I wrote this down. Are you going to let go of the excuses? I don't mean to be harsh. I don't mean to be unloving because those hurts are real. I agree, they're real. But when are you going to let the hurts go and stop letting them become an excuse? Y'all hear me? I'm loving y'all, I promise. But when are we going to let the external weight be removed and allow the internal passion, which is only fueled by two things, God's word and God's spirit? When you start getting in his word and you start living in the spirit, you will see that passion reignite in your life. You'll see disappointment flee away. You'll see frustration go away. You'll see all the external weight of the world and your thoughts and your pain and your problems disappear because God's word never fails and God's spirit will give you life again. I want to see a church that has renewed passion and renewed victory because we stop making excuses for why we aren't where we're supposed to be. That doesn't sound very loving, but it is. It's loving to know that we got to stop making, you know what? I have been able over the last years to minister to people who have been abused, have been hurt, have been raped. I've seen it all. And you know what? There's one common theme. The ones that choose to forgive and release, get a breakthrough and get change, and they become the person God called them to be. The ones that choose not to be, and though the hurt was real for them too, and they didn't choose to forgive and to release, they're now still walking under the bondage of that pain. I love you, and I know that God heals. He forgives, and I know that he wants to see your life get restored to what he called, but you got to let go of the past, of the externals that have weighed you down for years. Today, this year, 2018, I said last week, is the year of fulfillment of your vision. Let it go. Release it. Let the excuses be put aside. I know what they did to you, hurt you, and it was wrong. Forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Spit upon, mocked, beaten, and eventually killed. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. And yet we can't forgive others who said something bad about us 25 years ago. Or maybe somebody who wronged you and caused great pain in your life. It's time to forgive that person. It's time to move on. Amen? A couple of you are like, okay, we'll move on. You're like, man, this is getting out of control. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, please.
You're right on track.
Amen. Thank you. It's time to get our passion back. It's time to get our vision renewed. Because we've lost our vision because of disappointment. I have been disappointed. I have had pain. I have had things that have discouraged me. I've had relationships. All these things we all have. I love when Jesus says, or when Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, I don't know, whoever, says in Hebrews chapter 4, he always gives credit to Paul because he wrote, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament. Why not say it was Paul? But we really don't know. But the author of Hebrews says this, and it says, Jesus was tempted and tested every which way were, but did not fail. In other words, he has compassion and can relate to your infirmities, the word says. He can relate to what you've been through. We read it a couple years ago. He was rejected, despised of men, acquainted with sorrows and griefs. This is who he was. Have you been acquainted with grief and sorrow? Have you been rejected by man? Welcome to the club. That's your entrance club to being saved. You can relate to what, but Jesus took it for you, so you don't have to live in it. Isn't that good news? All right, let's start at chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus I write. These things saith he that holds the seven stars in the right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor and your patience and how you can't bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. So far, I'd like to be this church. You have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and you've not fainted. Nevertheless, I knew this was coming. Nevertheless, I have one thing against you, because you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and remove the candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But thou hast, that thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying in the church. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Chapter 2, verse 4 says this, nevertheless, I have somewhat one thing against you, that you have left or forsaken your first love. External weight causes us to leave the things that we're most passionate about. I have another little thing. Remember When. It happens to be a country song I like too, by the way, Remember When. But Remember When. This is not a good one, though. Remember when your conviction of sin was so real that you couldn't even hear a word without getting offended in the spirit. Not offended. That your spirit was hurt, grieved, that's a better word, grieved over that word they said or that thing you saw. Remember those days? Just gonna lay it out there for a minute. We're gonna have fun. I'll be done here soon. Don't worry. You're like, man, I came to the wrong church this morning. If you're visiting, welcome. Remember when conviction of sin was so real that your heart was grieved when you saw and you were around sinful behavior. Remember when your obedience was so real that whenever God said go, you jumped. When he said no, you said okay. Remember when? Remember when you couldn't wake up to get up in the morning and read your Bible and get time with your Father. Your prayer life was so vibrant that you had to stop for a while just to listen and say, okay, I'm done a lot of talking this morning. Your turn. And you waited on the presence of the Lord, and he would speak to your heart. You see, one of the things I love about this prophecy class is it's teaching people how to stop and shut their mouths and hear God speak. You know, he has just as much to say as you do, if you just would listen, right? Remember when you opened up your Bible and you did the holy flip, because it didn't matter what verse you looked at, it was just going to come alive to you. You just holy flip. There it is. Boom. And Jesus spoke to you that day, right there, no matter where it was, your Bible was open because God's word was so real and alive to you. Remember those days? I hope some of you are like, I'm living that way now. That's my dream, okay? I'm hoping some of you are going, I'm... Remember when you had an intimacy and love for the Lord. And no matter what, nothing would get in the way. Nothing would be an excuse for you to stop spending the time with him you should. And I'll just be truthful with you one more. Remember when you weren't going to miss church because of some other silly excuse. There's reasons to miss church. Let's not be legalistic. But remember when you didn't let those things get in the way. Funny story was when my kids were really little. Boy, that was a long time ago. And times have changed a lot since then. I remember the first time somebody said to me, "Well, Pastor, I won't be at church Sunday. My son has a baseball tournament." And I said, "Well, that sinner, going to skip church for baseball." And then my son got of age, asked to play travel ball, and guess what day that said to us? So I wasn't going to skip church. I can't. I had to be here. So I let him skip church and go play then it was basketball. You know what? We have a world that there are reasons to miss church, and I'm not saying it's bad. But I remember how bad I judged that person, and boy, I ate crow later, didn't I? Like, oh boy, you judged them, all that. I remember when they missed Wednesday night, because we had a Wednesday night study, like, "Oh, my son's got basketball practice. Well, he better quit basketball for this." And how many times we got to be careful not to judge those, because there are reasons not to be around, okay? I want to make that clear, all humor aside. But at the same time, what about some of the things that aren't good excuses? What about the things that were like, "Well, I overslept." You don't have an alarm clock? How about for work on Monday? Did you just oversleep? Okay, sorry, dude. Yeah, I'm not going to make it to work today. Alarm clock issue. Yeah. Thanks for understanding. Yeah, I'll see you next week when I do wake up on time. I mean, what are we going to do? We got to stop making excuses. There are reasons to, but there are also reasons that maybe when our passion was there, when our heart was right, and when we had that fuel and stuff, we didn't want to miss those things. We didn't want to miss the Tuesday night class. We didn't want to miss prayer. We didn't want to, because God was stirring us to be there. Remember those days? Well, I want to see the good old days return, okay? Remember when I wrote this out, and this is the draw of the world was not even close to the draw of God's Spirit. Write that. Remember when the draw of the world was not nearly as close, even close, as the draw of his Spirit. That the world has sucked you in. I added this verse, by the way, but in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I couldn't shake it. I finally just decided during worship to look it up, and oh, there it is. And if you just, 1 John 2:15 says this: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Love, intimacy, passion. Can I ask you this? I'll keep going. Why is it the world seems to draw us in so much? Their movies, their humor, the nudity, the drinking, the drugs, the behavior of the world. Why does it draw you in so much? Is it because maybe there's still a seed of flesh in you that you've not truly taken to the cross and said, "Crucify that old man," because you should not be living with the desires of the flesh? Anybody, just be real. I'm just being honest with you. I actually wrote a little note to Kendall about the offertory, like, or the end song. We're going to make it nice and easy, because we're going to hopefully believe that God will just restore your passion this morning. But some of you just might need to go back. We're going to get to Revelation 2 in a minute. Don't get me wrong. We'll get back. Some of us need to go back to a place of repentance. You've let stuff rival your first love. He's not your first love. Our kids have become our first love. Our job has. Ministry can be. What has become? If he is your first love, he'll take care of. I was just sharing with someone this week who said, "I don't understand." They're going through those things. And I said, remember Matthew 6:33, one of the most foundational passages. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. And then what? All these things. Hear that? Things will be added to you. Seek his kingdom. Seek him. Intimacy with him. Drawing with him. And when you do that, all these things he'll take care of for you. You give him the camera, he'll make a movie. You give him your talent, he'll make you an actress. I left there last night very motivated. very excited because I'm like, this is sermon notes. This is great. Thank you. I left there excited last night because I saw people in the world not compromise. And I saw passion in a young girl. I don't know how old she is, 20-something years old, 21 years old. I saw a girl crying with passion for God. And I want to see a church that's full of people who are passionate about God, non-compromising about God. Maybe you need to give up some things in your life, but you know what? I'm not here to say give up your whole life and I'm saying this, give up everything. Give him your life and he'll do all these things for you. When you trust him, you will find fulfillment. It's never going to be the other way. We can't help God to make our lives better. He will make our lives better. Let's keep reading. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the thing that you're not supposed to love, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, would you please hear, is not of the Father, but of the world. Did you hear that? I didn't write this. I wish I did. It was so good. For all that is of the world, three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father. The Father doesn't approve of that. He doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live in passion and love for him instead. Verse 17, and the world passes away and the lust thereof. But, ready for this one? He that does the will of God abides forever. Ever remember that? Sin is good for a season. Remember that? Paul says that. I know Paul said that, by the way, 1 Corinthians. Sin feels good for a season. It sounds good for a season. And then you partake of it and you become miserable. Anybody want to be a witness to that? You partake and you're like, man, that didn't taste very good. The commercial was way better. Man, that's some false advertising. They said if I just go ahead and open that door up in my life of sin, look at all the joy I'd have. I open the door up and I feel miserable. Somebody lied to me. Love not the world or the things of it. Love his kingdom and do the will of the Father. Back to Revelation 2, please. Because that's the second part of that verse. You've left your first love. And it says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. Just what the scripture said right here, ready? In 1 John 2, it says, the things of the world will fade, but the things of the kingdom will never fade. Go and do those things and you'll find blessing. Right here it says, repent and go back and do the very thing that God told you to do from the beginning. Anybody in the room, let's just be real. I think I have been. Anybody running, don't raise your hand. You don't have to. Probably. I'll talk to you later. Then I'll use you as example next week. No, I won't. Anybody in the room want to truly admit in their heart between you and God that you're running from something? Come on, just be honest with yourself. I don't need it. I don't need it. You do. Are you running because you're afraid? Maybe God is calling you to get more involved in this or this. Kenny's talking about Amy and Kenny got you. There's so many ways to get involved now between those two that, I mean, what was the number, Kenny? 32.8% of the church is involved, that has the ability to be involved. That's junior high level or up. 32.8% of the church is now actively serving at some point. Is that number okay to you? I hope all of you are saying no, please. Just, we're on the same page for just a second. Our goal this year will be more than that. I'll let Kenny get to it later. He's got numbers and figures, and he's got excitement about it. I'll let him do it. But it's not good enough. Why? Because it's not because we need more of your help, which we do. It's because you are not fulfilling what you're supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? It's kind of like, why do you tithe? Because the church needs your money? Sure, we could like to pay our bills. But why do you tithe? It's because I need to. It's for me. It's for me to give and be obedient and to be faithful. Why do we get involved and serve in the church? It's so I can be obedient to the call. And then, you know, I'm really excited. You see that praise and worship team? They're pretty good. I think they're really good. What if Cody decided, you know what? I don't want to be obedient this week. And so Sunday morning he oversleeps, which I know that you never would do. We will leave that alone because I'm sure there might be a... and he decides not to show up on Sunday morning, how do you think the music would be? It'd be fine, but it'd sound weird. Because we have a great team, they'll pick it up. What if, now, what if in the back there, they really needed some extra teachers and somebody in this room right here feels passion to help with the kids? And you just don't do it. It'll be okay. We're going to be fine. We'll make it. But wouldn't it be better if you're involved? Wouldn't it be better? Because I'm not asking you, and I'm not begging for you to get involved. I am talking about Vision 2018 still, but I'm asking this for you. Why is it that we're not investing and engaging? Why is it that our passion is because somewhere along the line, we've walked away, we've veered left or right, and we've let our passion in that area die? And I'm asking today for a supernatural Holy Spirit resurrection of your passion and your vision. Are you ready? I wrote this. To let go of the excuses, to let go of the pain, and move forward. Amy, if you don't mind, do you want to share? Yeah, I think you should. I think you should share. Would you mind come here? Amy's going to share something here this morning. I told you Tuesday, after you said it, it was awesome. You want your notes? Here's the notes I took from what you said. I took notes. Remember I told you I took your notes?
Good thing, because I don't remember. What were we talking about?
This is Chad's mic. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is just something little. Like, we get together on Tuesdays and pray, and it's really good. Just what a great group of people, very united. And I don't know, a lot of times when I pray, I just get, I wouldn't say a vision, but I always get like an illustration. That's how the Lord speaks to me, because I need it really clearly spelled out. And so a lot of times when I'm praying, the Lord will just give me something. And I was just praying for our body here. And just in my mind, what I was envisioning was like a campfire. And I love the smell of smoke. And I could see, like, all the embers together. And have you ever just sat there and you just kind of poke at them? And one time I actually burned my shoe. Like, my tread burned backwards because I was sitting there so long. But as I was just praying, I was imagining all these embers kind of scraped together. And we just kind of flip in the, you know, you kind of push them in. And then, like, I had a visual of, you know, sometimes, like, the coal or the ember kind of gets off to the side. And the Lord just spoke to me and he said, when a coal gets off to the side, it will burn out very quickly. But have you ever, like, even in the winter had a good fire going? You can come out 2 and 3 days later. You just poke it a little bit and it's still hot. And that's like unity in the body. As long as we're together and on the same page and have the same vision, it's the Lord keeping those coals together. And it keeps you burning, it keeps your passion. But the moment that you think that you don't need to be involved, you kind of get on the fringe, and you're the coal that's kind of not in the pile. And yeah, you're going to burn okay, and you're still a Christian, right? You're still going to go for a while, and you still have potential to burn. But the truth is, your passion's going to die out. That hotness, it kind of goes away if you get separated from the group. So I just had a visual of just praying and saying, hey, let's scoop our coals back in. That was my visual Tuesday.
Thank you.
Amen. They clap for you. That's good. So with that in mind, Hebrews chapter 10, please. Verse 23. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. Last week I talked about vision. We've laid a foundation of faith and believing, speaking, declaring. And I want to be a church that's known by their faith, but I also want to be a church that's known by the mountains that are moved. You know what? Let me make this clear. I don't want to be a church that just says, man, they got great faith. I want to see that church has spoken of mountains, and we know where the mountains are now. I want to be a church that has faith with results. Amen? That church, I want to be a church that when they pray for the sick, they're getting healed. I want to be a church that says, when we believe for finances, God provides. I want to be a church that doesn't just say we have faith, but we can see it. Amen? So let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. God is always. And this is where it goes back to what Amy is sharing. Let us consider to what love one another, to provoke. And you know what? If you go to the men's group, we are anointed at that right there. We provoke each other the whole time. We you know what? I actually have, and I'll get to my notes in a second here, but there's two words I'm going to leave you with to how to get this flame back. Number one is stir up. Another one is to spur up. And we're going to, the actual scripture says one of them, let us consider the old one of the versions says to spur one another on. I thought that describes our men's group the best. We spur each other. Sometimes it's for the good, sometimes it's for the fun, but it's always good. But let us consider one another to spur or provoke unto love and to good works. Amy just gave a great vision of what happens when you get in a group of embers. All you have to do is, you know, I did this before. You know, like, when I'm not with my wife, I don't mind camping, by the way. I don't think it's a bad thing. So when you wake up the next morning after camping, now her camping is, you know, never mind, we'll go there. They don't have breakfast served? Just, she's not that bad. She'll make it herself sometimes. But it's fun. You get up the next morning, and there's a bed of coals. And you know what you do? You put a log on there. It'll burn again because it stays hot. But as Amy just showed out, that great visual she had, I want her to share it because I like her passion. Don't you love? She can tell when she says it, she means it. It's not like, oh, here's a story. I mean, it's awesome. And that little coal that got over there, the next morning, you know what that is? It's gone. It's going to be some maybe little ash somewhere, charcoal, but it won't be ready to go get fired again. It's not going to be joining in with what God has to do and what we're doing next. It's not going to be joining in that new fire we got for the next morning. It won't be a part of that. It's still a coal and still there, but there's more for us. And this is what the body of Christ does. Let us consider to spur one another on, to provoke one another on, to encourage them on, to get them back involved. And this is why verse 25 is a great, great verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner that some is. This is the body we live in today. Well, we don't need to go to church, brother. It's, you know, I believe in God and, you know, I got my relationship with God. But how are you getting considered to love? How are you getting encouraged? How are you getting, where are people that you can go to for counsel? Not forsaking these things together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Number one, as we close, these two points. Number one is, if we're going to go and start seeing our passion get renewed, it's time for us to get connected to the body of Christ. Connect with people. Spur one another on. Get encouraged. Get corrected. Amen. Get rebuked. 2 Timothy 3:16. What does it say? All scripture is inspired by God. Why? To correct, rebuke, teach, love. If you're not getting rebuked, you're not living. Come on. If you're not getting corrected by God, his word, or others, then we need to get closer connected to people. Y'all agree with this? I love you, but there are times in my life that I still need someone to come to me and say, brother, that's just wrong. I guess I, you know what, I guess I didn't come across, you're right, it's wrong. We need that. I need that. The church needs that. You need that. So number one, if you want to get your passion back, you know, let's get reconnected. Let's invest in the church. Let's invest in our brothers and sisters. Let's provoke one another in a good way. Let's prod each other. Let's poke each other. Let's encourage each other. And this is where I want to go. Next Sunday, we're going to start our first one. We couldn't do it today because we had some setbacks. Some people couldn't make it. But I told you last week a little bit, we're starting a ministry in this church called Care Groups. I'm excited about it. The vision we've written out, the leadership, we spent a long time sharing our heart. And we're going to ask some of you, this week I'll be contacting 17 families to help hopefully get involved, to help provoke, prod, encourage, strengthen people in this church. Whether you see them on Sundays or you don't, our goal is, believe it or not, there's about 50 more people in this church than you see regularly. You know how we do it? Let's start prodding them. Let's start poking them. Let's start loving on them, and let's let them know that we miss them. And there's going to be groups that we're going to set up in this church that's going to let them know we want to see you involved, we miss you, we love you. And then we're going to let the visitors know when they come in, we love you too, because we want you a part of the body. We believe God's doing something awesome here. Why not get involved, right? This is not something, well, I go to church on Sunday mornings. No, I'm a part of a body. I'm a part of a community of believers who love me, and I love them. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of, and that's what 2018 is going to look like. So that's number one. Number two, let's turn, and this is where I'm going to close the worship team. If you want to come, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and if the worship team wants to come and do their stuff, I'm going to end right here in about 3 to 4 minutes. But I'm going to first take a look at my notes to make sure I'm better than I was last week. Spirit-led passion drives us for purpose fulfilled. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're just going to read verse 6, kind of-ish. Starting at verse 3, I thank God whom I serve. I tried. I just can't do it. That thing inside of me, it's like Mark at, you know, men's group. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, 5, 4, 3. Let's go to chapter 2, 1. We just got to read the whole book. Because it's hard to take things out of context. You want to read it all. Chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God in whom I serve for my forefathers, the pure conscience, and that without ceasing, I remember them day and night. Their prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of my tears, that I may be filled with joy. This is powerful because you don't want to. I have people around me praying for me. I'm filled with joy. I'm comforted by the fact that I'm in a legacy of believers. We're part of a body, greatly desiring to see that being mindful of all these years, I got joy. Sometimes it's just nice to know that you got people. I think back sometimes and go, I've got some great people in my life. I'm blessed. I'm joyful. When I call to remembrance, verse 5, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt in the first, your grandmother, my grandmother Lois, and my mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, because of these things, I put in thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting out of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of your Lord, nor me as his prisoner, but the partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But it's now, today, believing with you and for you. But today is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, who this is what he's doing for us. And I'm going to stop because I'm going to stop. I keep reading it. Apostle, preacher, he's calling us all to get involved. But verse 6, I call in remembrance today that you would stir up the gift inside of you. There's two ways for us to start rekindling the passion God has. Spur up and stir up. Spur each other up and stir it up inside of you. One is external, but it's by God's people, and the other is internal by the Holy Spirit. Spirit-led passion will lead spirit results, kingdom results. Spirit-led passion will not allow you to have to run to a bar to get another drink, or have to go and get another high from something else, or have to go watch a movie or something. It will allow you to get in your word, the word of God instead. This week I had to run to the stores late at night. No one in this room would even know because they don't want to go to church here. And I was in the store and I was at line and I had something, it was some soda was what it was, pop. And I was in line buying this. And a guy that Kenny and I had a chance to run into recently, was someone in the community called, actually, I think it was through him, would you mind helping so-and-so? They've gotten themselves in trouble, and they need your help. So I walk in, and I'm standing in line to go check out this little four-pack of sodas. And this guy walks in and sees me, and he's about 3 sheets to the wind. Without missing a beat, he looks up there, I need a pint of Jack Daniels. You know what? I don't care if you drink a beer. I don't care if you have them with. You know what broke my heart? Is he wasn't doing it because he wanted a drink. He was doing it because he was miserable and in pain. In my heart, I couldn't get off me. I'm sitting in that line. I came and check out. And the lady's looking at me like, you going to buy your stuff? Just a minute. My heart is breaking because this young man thinks that another pint, and then you know what she says to me when he leaves? That's his third trip in here. Folks, there's better ways to deal with your pain than to drink it away, sleep it away, run away. It's time for us today to come to the cross and get rid of the excuses, get rid of the problems, and believe that Jesus is enough. He provided everything you need for healing, forgiveness, and today I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to, and I'm going to also do this. If you feel today that as I've been speaking, that it's time for you to get your passion back, if you want to jump on up here, jump on up. Just go and say time. It's like what that the father, Andrew's father, said to him with a camera. What do you have in your hand? I got a camera. Then give it to God. What do you have in your life right now that you can give to God? Just give it to him. And let him today restore your passion. Disappointment. Maybe you believe God for something and he didn't come through. He's still faithful. Let's get ourselves back in the right place. Amen? Just because we've been disappointed doesn't mean God's not good. It means that somehow we've got to get ourselves back to a place of passion and the ability to receive. Amen? Father, I pray this morning, as we sing these words, this song, we sang it a minute ago. I asked Kendall to start with it, the bridge of the song, because this is our prayer this morning. God, come and consume all we are. We give you permission. We're yours. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now. Folks, I tried to get as quick as I could because there's plenty of time. There's no hurry. Today is the day that I want you to come face to face and say, remember when. If any of you right now can say, remember when, it's time today to change. Remember when I, today, it's today is the day I want my passion back. I want to see my purpose fulfilled, but it's only going to start when passion is restored. The reason the church is excited in leaders and all the leaders are excited about the vision is because we started to see it again. We got passion for it again. And that's what I'm asking for the Holy Spirit right now. I'm asking for passion. Passion to pursue. Passion to pursue purpose. That we could see you as first and only. We see you as the lover of our soul. We see you as our first love. Father, today as a church, I repent. I remember from where I've fallen. And I repent today that I've let obstacles come in my way. Idols have been formed in the image of family, job, ministry, children, whatever. Today, I repent for idolatry. You were not first in every area, so I repent right now. I give you these things. My family is a blessing. Hallelujah. My job's a blessing. The ministry's a blessing, but they're not better than you. You are the prize. You are the goal. You are my passion. Stir it up today in my heart, God. So as you're singing these words, I'm going to stop praying for you. And I want you to start praying for yourself. The altars are open. You are open. As we sing these words right now, I'm asking you, God, come and consume. Stir me up.
God, all we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. God, we want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you, God. Yeah, we want you. And come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you to come. Come and consume. consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you.
Yes, we do.
We want you.
Come stir us, oh God.
And come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.
We love you, God.
And we love you. Oh, we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. And we love you. We can't get enough. And all this for you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No more excuses. No more pain. No more distractions. I'm declaring that over my life. You can receive it today too. No more. Today, just put an end to it. No more. No more. I'm done making excuses. I'm done looking for the world to satisfy my pain. I'm done looking for the world to satisfy something in me when I know everything I need is found right here in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring my passion. And now, like those embers, there's still, it's not a full-fledged fire at times, but we're still hot. And I pray that we today would put some logs on it by fellowshipping with other people, being encouraged in the Word, praying, getting, Jude says the best, pray in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up, pray in the Spirit, learning to get ourselves in a place where we continue to get this fire going again. Today is the day that we say yes. Today is the day that we say now. No more excuses, no more. We're coming full out. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. You can keep worshiping. You can keep getting. Come on up if you need prayer. If not, go and greet somebody. Love on somebody. Hug on somebody. Let them know you do like them.
We love. And we love you. And we'll never. Star, we can't live without you, Jesus. Oh, we love you. We can't get enough, and all this is for you, Jesus. And we are yours. We want you. we want you. And come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you, we do, God. We want you to come. And come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you to come. And come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission, our